Okay, we're going to read Philippians 4 and verse 12. Paul says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended or laid hold, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind." Now, Paul here says, I'm forgetting certain things. One thing I do, he says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So it talks about forgetting. I take it he's saying here there are some things we ought to forget. And Paul says there are things I'm trying to forget, forgetting the things which are behind. What are things that we need to forget? I was thinking of one of the things that we sometimes remember that can be destructive is the memory of past sins and past failures. Now, you can, if you just keep thinking and dwelling on past failures, on past sins, it can cause you to actually become insane. There are people that are in institutions today simply because all they could do is think about some past mistake or some past failure, some past sin, and that all they do is brood and think about that thing until it renders them incapable of living life and of functioning normally. And I want to just remind us of how we need to forget our past sin. 1 John 1:9. We're going to read a number of scriptures here, but 1 John 1:9. He says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So he says here, if we confess our sins, then he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I need to remember that as a Christian. I was thinking of Ty mentioning this, how he'd been thinking about certain past sins and confessing them to the Lord. Now, the promise here is, if we come and if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, the wonderful realization that my sins are forgiven. My sins are forgiven. And we can enjoy this and delight in this. I want to read some verses in Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, and we'll start with verse 11. We're going to think here for a little bit about this matter of knowing our sins are forgiven and not going back and digging up, you know, the garbage, the failure that we've known in time past and brooding over it, going over it and over it and over it. Now, in Hebrews 10. It says, every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, it's talking here about Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now, where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Now, what he's saying is, in the Old Testament days, these offerings had to be repeated over and over again. The whole sacrificial system was something that just was being repeated. There was the morning sacrifice and the evening sacrifice, and then all the sacrifices in between. And yet with all of that, there was just a remembrance of sins. There was never a realization that sin was completely taken care of and forever taken care of. But here he says, by one offering, Jesus, when he offered himself, when he hung on that cross, when he gave up his life, when he said it is finished, and when he died and he said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. When that happened, it says that the debt of sin, he offered one sacrifice for sins forever. And there's a finality. See, there's a completion here. It's not going to be repeated, he says. And by this one offering, now we who have trusted him are perfected forever. As far as guilt, as far as having to face God for our sin and be judged and cast into hell, we are perfected. It's taken care of. And then he goes on to say, their sins and iniquities or lawless deeds I will remember no more. That's what God says, see. That's a wonderful, wonderful promise. Their sins I will remember no more. And so God says that he will not remember them. I want to read Psalm 103. Just, we read this earlier, but one verse in particular. Psalm 103. And at verse 12. Where he says, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. We talked about this, how God now has taken our transgressions, our sins, he's removed them. He's taken them completely away. We're not contaminated by them. We're not linked to them anymore. They're removed. He's removed our transgressions from us. This is what God says he's done with them. Regardless of our thinking and regardless of whether we remember these things at times, God says, I have removed them and they're gone. He's removed them from us. Notice a couple of other verses. I want to read Isaiah 38:17. A couple of verses here in Isaiah. These are good too. Isaiah 38 and verse 17. This is what he says. Indeed, it was for my own peace that I had great bitterness. But you have lovingly delivered my soul from the pit of corruption. You have cast all my sins behind your back. Isaiah says, God, you've thrown all your sins behind, all my sins behind your back. They're behind you. You're not looking at them anymore. You're not remembering them anymore. Their sins and iniquities, I will remember them no more. I've thrown them behind my back. And God says, I have forgotten those sins. And then also to read 43 and verse 25, Isaiah 43 and verse 25. And this emphasizes this also. God speaking, and he says, in verse 25, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. I will not remember your sins. How can God put it more plainly, see? Or with more finality, he says, I will not remember your sins anymore. So when I receive the Lord Jesus, and when I bring my sins to him, God says, I throw them behind my back. I remove them from you as far as the east is from the west. He says, I will remember your sins no more. What a wonderful truth to grip your heart. I was thinking of Pilgrim's Progress, as John Bunyan writes about him. Remember, he lived in the city of destruction, and he started reading the Bible. As he read the Bible, he became very concerned about his sins. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he was reading all these passages, and as he read, it says a great load that grew on his back, a load of sin. And he had this tremendous burden that just troubled him so. He couldn't sleep, he couldn't rest, he was an unhappy man. And then he met evangelist who told him, now you go to that narrow gate. And he went to the narrow gate, and we'll skip over some of the things that happened in between. But he got to the gate, and then he got on the narrow road, and he came to the cross. And when he came to the cross, he looked up at the cross, and the truth gripped him.
there hung one dying for me. And it says his burden rolled off his back, and it rolled to the foot of the cross. And the scripture, John Bunyan says in the book, he saw it no more. It was gone. The sin was gone. So now this is something that we need to, I think, forget, is our sin, the past, the failure, whatever it is, we need to forget it because God has forgotten it. God has put it away. God says, I'm not going to recall that anymore. I'm not going to bring it up again. God says, it's past, and I have forgiven you. Their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. There are many religious people that have no appreciation of that at all. They just think, well, I've got to keep coming to God and confessing my sins, and I'm never sure they're forgiven. I know as I grew up, we confessed our sins every Sunday, but I never knew forgiveness. And it takes faith, doesn't it, really, to know this. I have to take God at his word. If our heart condemn us, the scripture says God is greater than our heart. And if my conscience should keep troubling me and I should be troubled by that which I've done, still, if I've accepted Christ, I must believe what God says by faith. And he says, their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. I think of what a terrible thing it must be to have a weight of sin. Or a terrible crime that's troubling you. I was visiting a man in jail this last week who was in there for murder, second-degree manslaughter. He was drinking with some other men, and one of the men, he got into an argument, and the man pulled a knife, and he took the knife away from him and killed him. Killed him in his own house. He's facing charges. It'd be quite a weight on your conscience, wouldn't it? Remembering how there was blood on your hands and blood soaking into the living room floor, and the man died in your own living room. At your hands. And yet, if I turn to the Lord Jesus, and if I trust him, then the sin of murder can be forgiven. Any sin can be forgiven. There are sins and iniquities I will remember no more. So it's a wonderful thing to forgive, to forget our sins and to forgive ourselves even, and not to think about the past and not to just go over the past and over the past and think about our failures and be unhappy. And also what we need to do is forgive others. I want to turn to Ephesians 4, and this is very important. It's a hard lesson. One of the hardest things I've ever had to learn to do is to forgive others. And of course, one of the things that helps you to forgive others is to think about how much you've been forgiven. Think about the Lord's forgiveness for you. But in Ephesians 4, in verse 32, he says, be kind one to another. Previous verses said, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, loud speaking, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also forgave you. Forgiving one another. And so in a Christian community, this is Ephesians 4:32. So he says, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also forgave you. Now, how did God forgive us? Did he say, okay, I'm going to forgive you just for now, but if you ever, slip again, I'm going to bring it all back up? Is that what he said? No. He says, their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. I take it God's never going to bring up again those sins of mine that are in the past that the blood of Christ has taken care of. He's not going to bring them up again. Now, others may remember them, and others may not forget, but God refuses to bring them up. He says, I'm not going to remember them anymore. I'm not going to think about them anymore. Their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Wonderful to know that. Now, we need to ask God to help us develop that kind of forgiving, loving spirit. Ty?
I have a thought in my James Christ, but we see these people compare your sins to one another and pray for one another. so that you may be effective, clear, and righteous and your consciousness. Now it's true that we should pray for one another.
Right. Yes, that's a good passage to read there in James 5, where he says, confess your sins or trespasses to one another, pray for one another that you may be healed. And that's an important thing, too. We need to confess these failures and these faults to one another, things that affect the other person. Now, if I sin against someone other than you, I don't need to confess that to you. I confess it to God and to the person that I've wronged. But if I've wronged you, then I need to come to you and I need to confess it. And so the fellowship of Christians needs to be a place where there is confession and there's forgiveness and there's not a bringing up of these things. It's a healing process going on. And it has to, because we're all sinners and we fail at different times. And so we have to be forgiving of one another. Now, the tragedy is, if we don't forgive, we poison ourselves. We poison ourselves. And it's such a futile thing to dwell on the past failures of others or of myself. Now, why is it futile? Why is it useless? Well, I can't change the past. Now, you may at times, you know, if you... I'm sure we've all had this experience. You thought, if I could just go back and relive that year or relive that decision and do something different. But we can't. You cannot go back into the past. So that's why you have to accept the forgiveness of God, and you have to as Paul says, forgetting those things that are behind. There's no point in going back into the past, as far as yourself is concerned. And there isn't as far as other people are concerned. Even if the other person doesn't ask my forgiveness, suppose someone hurts me very deeply, and he never comes to me, he never says, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? He just goes on and goes his way, and, you know, that's it. What am I to do? Well, there's a sense in which... he can't know complete forgiveness until he confesses to God and to those he's hurt. But I can have a forgiving spirit. And unless I do, I become a slave, really, to this other man and his sin, his failure. Now, the reason I become a slave is because this thing has a hold of me and controls me. And it can poison my life. If I go on year after year and I'm unforgiving and I have bitterness, and I've known of this to happen in marriages. I knew of a couple years ago who stayed together in their marriage until their boy got to be about 20 and left home. And then their marriage broke up, and I was amazed. But there had been a bitterness there for many, many years. The marriage hadn't started right. They had to get married. He resented her. He never really forgave her. She didn't really forgive him, I suppose. I don't know. It was just a bad thing that went on year after year after year and poisoned both of them. How tragic. So if I don't forgive, I become a slave, really, to that person's failure, and I poison myself. So he says, be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Remember how much you've been forgiven and have a forgiving attitude. Even if people don't come to you, and sometimes they won't. Sometimes people aren't going to come to you and say, look, will you forgive me? I did the wrong thing. They may just sail on down the road and say goodbye, you know, and that's the last you may see of them. And you can go the rest of your life and you can brood on it. And you can think about it, and you can say, boy, I was hurt, and what a dirty trick to do, and I hate the guts of that guy, you know. And you can just build up hatred in your own heart. Or you can have a forgiving spirit, and you can say, well, Father, I just leave him in your hands. I'm not going to... I've failed in many ways myself, and I'm not going to be angry and hostile and full of bitterness toward that person. And that's what we are called to do. When Jesus was being crucified, he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And he had a forgiving spirit. Those who spit on him and mocked him and all the rest, his attitude was, well, Father, oh, that they might be forgiven. See? So I want to encourage us here. These are things that we need very much to do. We need to forget our sins. We need to forgive ourselves. Because sometimes I've had people say to me, well, I know God's forgiven me, but I can't forgive myself. I just feel I made such a mistake, and it was such a terrible thing, and I can never forgive myself. Well, if God has forgiven me, and God says I won't remember it anymore, then we need to say, well, Lord, help me to forgive myself. And just not to keep brooding over it and beating myself. And sometimes we do that. I remember once in Oklahoma City seeing a man who was 69 years of age come to know the Lord. He was an older man. And he'd had some problems with a leg and had to have a leg amputated. And he was in a wheelchair, but he really came to know the Lord. Just a simple faith. And I remember going to see him one day, and he was sitting in his wheelchair, and got to talking to him, and tears started running down his face. I said, brother, what's wrong? What's troubling? Well, he says, you know, I sit here and I think, and I remember the past. And he said, I think about my sins. I think especially about the way I treated my wife. And he said, I was a hard man, a rancher and a farmer, and he said, I used to curse God. I'd curse God for the weather, and I was a foul-mouthed man, and I would curse my wife. And he says, I think of that, and I weep. He just sat there, tears running down his face. An old man. Couldn't go back, you see. Couldn't relive life. He couldn't draw back any of those curses. He couldn't draw back any of those hard things he said against his wife. And none of the anger or the hostility. And, you know, I tried to show him, well, look, God has forgiven you that. You're going to have to forgive yourself, too. You can't live life over. You're not going to go back and say, 40 years, and we're going to start all over, and I'll live and be the right kind of husband to my wife. It's past. All you can say is, God has forgiven me, and pray, Lord, help me to forgive myself and to forget it, and to just live in a realization of your love and forgiveness. So those are important things. To learn to forget the things that are behind us. Now, I want to turn to a few things here. Deuteronomy 6:12, we're going to look at some things that we need to remember. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 12. Because our problem oftentimes is we forget the wrong things. Now, in this case, in verse 12, he's talking about when they get into the land of Israel, Palestine, and he says, you've got your houses, your vineyards, you're farming and doing well. Then he says, beware, lest you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Beware lest you forget the Lord. Remember the Lord. Don't forget God. When things are going well, when you're knowing blessing, the Lord says, don't forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Don't forget me. And that can be a tendency. You know, people when they're sick and having problems, well, then they pray quite readily. You go to a hospital and most people up there will say, well, I prayed, you know, before I had surgery, I prayed. Maybe they haven't prayed in 10 years, but when they're in a hospital facing an operation, they say, well, I prayed. I'd like to have you pray, too. Pray for me. I remember once being in the jail, in a jail meeting, and the hand went up, and the fellow said, he said, what is it you wanted? And he said, we're going to trial tomorrow. Would you pray for us? I don't know when he'd asked anyone to pray for him before, but he was going before the judge tomorrow, and he says, pray for us. But when things are going well, we forget. The Lord says, don't forget me. Forget your sins, but don't forget me. I've blessed you in so many different ways, and don't forget me. And so the encouragement here is to remember the Lord and His blessings. We might turn to Psalm 103. We read part of that earlier, but I want to just touch on the second verse especially, where he tells us there, Psalm 103,
And verse 2, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Don't forget his benefits, all the good things he's done for you. We've got so many good things. Don't forget, he says. Don't forget the Lord, and don't forget all his benefits. And one of the things, of course, the greatest benefits we have, we'll go back to Exodus 13, is the wonderful blessing of salvation. In Exodus 13, and we'll read verse 13, he says this. Well, let's read verse 3. That's the one we really want here. He says, remember this day in which you went out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of hand the Lord brought you out of this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten. Remember this day in which you went out of bondage. Now what he's saying to them is, look, listen, you remember the day when God delivered you from Egypt, and when you left the slavery of Egypt behind, and when the Lord in a wonderful way brought you out. Remember that day. Remember when you were saved. That's what he said. And so they had the Passover. And still today, Israel goes back and they remember that day that took place 3,500 years ago almost. And they remember that day when God delivered them out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Remember that day. Remember the day you were saved. That's a good, important day. Sometimes when we're first saved, the day or the time even doesn't mean that much. I know I didn't, when I accepted the Lord, I didn't sit down right away and say, oh, this is the day, now I'm going to circle it. I didn't even think too much about it. I accepted the Lord and I was happy. Later on, I asked my mother. I said, do you remember that day, which day it was? And she made a note of it in the calendar. And she said, yes, it was March the 2nd. That was the day. And at any rate, to know about the time and to think about that and to remember, wasn't it a wonderful thing that I got saved? Wasn't it a wonderful thing that I came to know the Lord? And that I came to know my sins were all forgiven. And the relief that I had in knowing my sins are taken away. He says here, remember the day. Remember the day in which you went out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And so that's an important thing to remember. And as we think about that, to remember how we were once lost. Like in Isaiah 51, he says, remember the pit from which you were digged. Remember the hole that you came out of, you know. It's healthy at times. Remember, you were a sinner. And remember that and be grateful. Be grateful. So grateful that you're not lost and you're not still in your sin. Remember. Remember you were a slave in Egypt. You know, the Lord told Israel. Don't forget that. And remember that you've been saved. So this is important. I know as we come to the end of this year, it's good to go back and remember. I remember the day I accepted the Lord. I remember that time. And I remember how I was a sinner, without hope and without God. And I came to know my sins were forgiven and the peace and joy that I had. So he says, this is something to remember. Now, there's something else. I want to turn to Psalm 119. As we think of the new year, one of the things we want to remember especially is the Word of God. Don't forget the Word. It's so easy to forget. And he pleads with us here to remember God's Word. Let the Word of God have a large part in your life. Read the Word much. Take in the Word. Memorize the Word. Oh, it's so hard to get people to spend time in the Word of God. I sometimes think of young Christians. Their lives are saturated maybe with television. And it's so hard to get them to even say, I'll spend 15 minutes a day reading and praying. And yet it's vital. This is what he says in verse 9 of Psalm 119. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. See, the psalmist here is saying, oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Don't let me forget your word. Keep your word always in my thinking, in my heart. How important, you know, the word of God. Vital to have the word of God in our lives. Let's go over to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And here the writer says, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands, for length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Do not forget my law. Do not forget the word of God. So the encouragement there to remember God's word, to enjoy it, to feed upon it, to spend time reading and praying. Remember. Now, there's something else he tells us not to forget, and that is godly living. We don't want to just read the word of God and not apply it. In verse 3 of Proverbs 3, he says, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. In other words, he says, build Christian character. Don't forget to live a godly life. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Be merciful, be compassionate, be truthful, be honest, be upright. He says, tie them around your neck like you tie a necklace around your neck. Don't forget to be a godly person. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Don't forget godliness. Don't forget your character. Remember these things. This is what he pleads with us to do in this passage here. Deuteronomy 23 and 21. As time goes by, sometimes we forget promises or commitments that we've made to the Lord. And in verse 21 of Deuteronomy 23, he says, when you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not delay to pay it, for the Lord your God will surely require it of you, and it would be sin to you. When you make a vow or a promise to the Lord your God. I was thinking of one of the things that would be good to remember is maybe going back and remembering promises or commitments we've made, choices we've made with regard to the Lord, reminding ourselves of them and renewing them. Like there was a fellow who used to meet with us here. He now lives in California. His name is Matt. And after he was saved, I don't remember just when it was, but sometime after, he made a decision and a commitment to the Lord. I'm going to read the Word of God some every day. And I know he told me later, sometimes he says, you know, my day is so busy. He had a busy job and he started early in the morning. And he says, sometimes I'll get through the whole day almost and will not have been able to get time into the Word. But he says, then I can't go to sleep until I read the Word. And he says, that promise just won't let me sleep until I've read the Word. Every day I want the Word to be a part of my life. See? A vow, a commitment that he made in connection with that, a promise. And we make promises. Now, some people say, well, I'd rather not make any promises because then I won't break them. But that's really kind of a cop-out. It's the same reasoning that people have when they say, I'm not going to get married, make marriage vows. I'd rather just live with a woman, then I won't break any promises. We need promises, don't we? We need commitments. And I stood with my wife to be, and we made very solemn vows. We promised to be faithful to one another, to love one another until death would part us. Through poverty and whatever, sickness and health.
And those promises were good. And it's a vital part of our marriages to go back and remind ourselves, I made those promises. You're in a situation where there's temptation, there's some other person attractive, you go back and you remind yourself of those promises you made, the commitments you made. And as Christians, it's good for us to remind ourselves of commitments we've made to the Lord, promises we've made to Him, to read the Word, to pray, to meet with His people. I think it's good to be committed in this way. I heard of a man who was once asked, a Christian man, are you going to go to prayer meeting this week? Oh, he said, I made that decision 30 years ago. Now, what he meant was, 30 years ago, he had just said to the Lord, Lord, I'm going to meet with your people and I'm going to be at these meetings. So 30 years later, he didn't have to say, well, now should I go or not? Do I want to stay home and watch TV? Or do I want to work in the garden? Or do I want to go to prayer meeting? He made that decision, he said, 30 years ago. Commitments, decisions that we make. So here the encouragement is, remember those. Don't forget those commitments, those decisions that you make. It's good to make them. Christian was telling me a while back, a Christian who financially is not having things that easy, but this person said, you know, I made a commitment to give 5% to the Lord of my income. I don't think I can give 10, but I made that commitment to give 5%. I feel I should do that. I can give 5%. And so that's what I'm going to do. When the check comes in, I'm going to put aside 5% of my income, and I'm going to give that to the Lord. Well, that's a commitment, and that's good. And then to remind ourselves of these commitments and to say, Lord, help me now carry through and be faithful in keeping my vows, even as the scripture here says. Psalm 50 in verse 14 along that line. Psalm 50 in verse 14. David, as he's speaking, well, in this case, it's a psalm of Asaph, but the verse 14 exhorts this. Offer to God thanksgiving. Pay your vows to the Most High. In other words, carry through on your promises. Keep your commitments. Now, as you come to Psalm 90, I want to read a couple of verses here just to remind us that life is passing by. Psalm 19. When we're young, time passes slowly, doesn't it? Maybe you remember when you were about 14 years old and you were thinking about, oh, I wish I were 16 and I could get my driver's license. And it just seemed the time passed so slowly until you were 16 years of age or whatever the goal was. But then as time goes on, it just seems the years pass more and more quickly. We're looking back on a year, and the year's gone quickly, hasn't it? The year has gone past so quickly. And life is like that. Life goes by very quickly. So the psalmist here is impressed with that. And he says in verse 10, the days of our years are 70 years. If by reason of strength they're 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. A little bit of a pessimistic note there. But realistic, he says, 70 years, that's what we'll say most people live. If you live to be 80, you're stronger. But then he says, life is soon cut off, we fly away. And so in view of that, in verse 12, he says, so teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And the psalmist just says, oh Lord, life is short. Teach me to number my days, to live wisely, to live to the full for you. And this is his plea. And so as we think of the new year coming up, and you know, the opportunities and all, it's good to evaluate
and to have some goals, you know, for the new year. Goals as far as reading the Word and praying. Goals as far as witnessing. I want to be a witness for the Lord, don't you? To tell some other about Him. At the end of this year, wouldn't it be grand if we had some spiritual children? Some that we'd witness to. Goals as far as giving. We want to live lives of giving. In every area here to make life as effective as it can be, to remember the right things and to forget certain things and to enter this year with a spirit of peace and optimism, not bitterness, not resentment, not holding grudges against anyone. That can be such a bitter thing, such a bitter thing. Years ago, an older man wrote me. He was retired, and he was writing for some advice in certain areas, and then he was kind of unburdening to me. But he told me, he said, you know, I've got real bitterness against my wife. They'd been married, I suppose, 50 years. But he went back, and he was telling me about how years before she'd been unfaithful to him. And been involved with several men, I guess. But she'd been unfaithful to him. But this was all these years later. And here he was, an old man, and he was spending hours going back over that thing and thinking about it and brooding and being resentful. And his heart was just full of anger and bitterness. What a sad way, you know, to end up life. The scripture says, be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. And as we think of the things to forget, let's forget our own sin and let's forget the hurts and the things that have come in life that could make us better if we wanted to. And let's put them aside and let's say, Lord, give us your spirit so that even you could look at your enemies and those who hated you and those whose hearts were just filled with anger against you, yet you said, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. You had a forgiving spirit. And let's ask the Lord to give us that kind of forgiving, loving spirit.